This is Punch Drunk Philosophy, episode 11.
What the fuck is up, everybody? Welcome back to Punch Drunk Philosophy. It has been a fun week. Sorry, we've been away for like a week this time. We're usually like twice a week, but we did a show that came out on Wednesday last week, and it's like, you know, didn't fit in the schedule. I was busy on the weekend getting my ass kicked in a nice little scrap. It's good to get back in the ring, do some shit. And then I watched the fights on Sunday night a bit later. Oh yeah, I might as well introduce the other person who's on the line. Hello, Charlie.
You all right? It's just me this week.
Yeah. Tony, since he was like Snowden last week, is working a lot this week. And Matt,
I am going to give you my own medical advice, though.
You'll be the medical expert this week, as the more medically competent out of the two of us.
You see, what your knee is, Adam, is what I would describe as fucked.
Yeah, Max is off in Asia somewhere. I think he's in Cambodia at the moment, Thailand. I'm just following his Facebook post briefly, but yeah, he's off having fun.
What's he doing?
And we are here to talk about what's gone on in MMA this week. Well, obviously, there's the UFC Fight Night that happened in Austin this weekend. Pretty awesome fun night fights. We finally got some shit fights again, which I missed. You can't have like just constant brilliance and cool finishes and wars.
This is why I'm a Jake Shields fan. This is what I've been telling you people.
Because he makes other fights look good in comparison.
Precisely. It's important.
We need Jake Shields.
You need to have different paces. If it just goes, you know, balls out all the way through, no, you won't like that.
No, but it's not balls out. I mean, the crap fights on this card, they were crap because, like, nobody was engaging. As in, and also, what True. I was really annoyed at is, like, fucking tall people who don't know how to fight tall.
Like, yeah, I know how to fight tall, and I'm not tall.
It was the James Vick Nick Hine fight. A lot of the time, it was just bizarre. He's like wasn't really fighting like he had a foot reach advantage like he did. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of that was kind of weird. Probably first thing to go into, Frankie Edgar main event. Shit, that was domination. I think a lot of people kind of forgot about Frankie Edgar as a contender because he spent like all this wasted time on the Ultimate Fighter with to go to like a completely pointless fight with BJ Penn. I picked Cobb Swanson because it's just been a while since I'd seen Frankie Edgar against some kind of elite striker, and thought he might have some kind of problem with that. But I forgot how fucking well he integrates his wrestling and with his strikes.
And oh, he's a mixed martial artist.
Just has a beautiful MMA game. Yeah, I mean, on the ground, Cub Swanson, who's a BJJ black belt, he had nothing. And did you see the way he passed that butterfly guard?
It wasn't just that he had nothing as well. It's that he was doing something and then Frankie Edgar would stop it. And then he'd do something and then Frankie Edgar would stop it. And then he'd do something and it's just the same thing. Like, and it was amazing. After, I think it was the first round, he got to the corner because he was stuck in a butterfly guard for a bit. And Ricardo Almeida says to him, "Shall I just go towards it, just go over it." And then he takes him down, butterfly guard, goes towards it, goes over it, half guard, cheers. Thanks very much. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Cub Swanson, he just looked somewhat panicked in the bottom position because he really didn't know how to deal with that kind of, I'm not sure, is it just a level of like insane technical prowess? Like,
it's a cross between that
such
and
an insane technical
and
level
just how
that
active
he could just shut
Frank
down
Edgar
the game
was
on every level.
Yeah, basically. And Frank Edgar was just so active as well. Like, he didn't have time to just sort of collect himself and shift his weight because he was trying to dodge punches. I mean, he couldn't even get wrist control on him because he got his wrist out too quickly. Some people, when they throw ground pound, they just sort of throw it and then they're thinking about their next punch. Frankie Edgar doesn't do that. He throws the punch, gets his arm back, throws the punch, gets his arm back, and he doesn't give up wrist control. And that's why he's so able to keep, you know, pummeling him on the ground, because he doesn't give up those little things. And without getting wrist control and closing that gap, you can't even start to work jiu-jitsu because you're just getting punched in the face. It's perfect. He's completely melded all three facets of mixed martial arts. He's the Zinedine Zidane of mixed martial arts. He really is. He's just good at everything. And smart with it. With amazing coaches.
Yeah, Yeah, his camp was perfect. Like, the advice they gave him after the first round just completely corrected it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's so fucking good having a corner that grow. I always say about Matt Heumann, Demetrius Johnson's corner, even if someone exploits a little technical flaw in him, which there are very few, like John Dodson exploited like a few of his flaws in the first and second round in their fight, but Matt Heumann just instantly corrected it.
Yeah.
And he could be his eyes and brain in that corner, and they could correct it between rounds. And as long as he doesn't get finished in that, which someone like Frank Yeager, let's face it, isn't fucking likely.
No.
Now, this is quite interesting for the featherweight title picture. I mean, everybody was talking about this. It was quite strange. Everybody kept saying Cub Swanson in terms of title. They hadn't. I'm not sure if they didn't consider Frankie Edgar as the winner.
Do you remember the booking
coming
line?
In as the odds favourite.
Oh, he was
but
the odds favourite.
They were always talking about Cub Swanson in terms of if Cub Swanson wins this, he'll get a title shot.
I thought he was quite fancied. I thought he was quite fancied before this fight, Cub Swanson. It seemed like.
He was on an incredible streak.
Yeah.
I mean, he's knocked off so many top contenders. Top contenders in a row, like, yeah, Poirier, Seaver, and Stevens, and Oliveira. It's just been such an incredible streak and such an incredible, like, rise of Cub Swanson after he got choked out by Ricardo Lamas. So he definitely deserves it. I mean, obviously, with Conor McGregor entering the scene, antagonizing him, saying, oh, he doesn't deserve the shot. It's like, well, he has beaten more guys better. I don't know if that's the best way to say it. I'd always say this with title shots, like, beat more better guys.
Yeah.
Really, that's what you have to do to earn a title shot.
Yeah, it's difficult.
And especially with the ranking system, like, we had number two and number three. Number one just fought Chad Mendes. So, logically, number two, number three, how is this not a number one contender belt?
No, I completely agree with you. And when I was done watching this, I was like, whoa, that was really good. And then I did get this kind of feeling of a little bit of anticlimax in a way, because I got really excited about Frankie Edgar. And then I sort of thought to myself, I'm not sure he's going to fight for the title next. Do you know what I mean? And I kind of felt like in my head, right, yeah, he's the best apart from Jose Aldo now. But then I kind of did think, Conor McGregor's going to be Ricardo Yama. This is going to take a while for Frankie. It isn't just going to be as simple for him. And it's going to be a real trek for him to get that title back, I think, because I can't see them just... maybe they'll give him McGregor after Seva.
No, I don't think they would give him McGregor before they get...
Because they don't want him to lose.
McGregor a title shot.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think
that's why I got sad, I think, because I thought, oh, he can fight me. And then I thought, nah, it's not going to happen. McGregor's going to get that shot, even if McGregor has to wait a long time. I just don't think they'll let him fight again if he beats Dennis Seaver. At least not against anyone good. They might chuck him out with Coke or someone.
It's alarming. I don't know. I kind of hate talking about this way about Conor McGregor sometimes, because it's almost acting like the UFC are protecting a marketing gimmick in order to ascend the ranks.
You don't think they are?
Sneak him into a title shot to earn money. I think that
you
does
don't think they have
give
a record
too little
of doing
credit
this in the
to
past?
Conor McGregor. Yeah, they have done that, but it's like, I think that gives too little credit to Conor McGregor and what he's achieved. I mean, the guy
Understood.
Is fucking exceptional.
Understood.
I mean, you saw what he did to Dennis Seaver. P-Head. Sorry, I've just got P-Head stuck in my head.
Justin
Poirier. Fucking hell. See, that's how much Conor McGregor's messed with my head. Like, I'm trying to think of Dustin Poirier, and all I can think of my head is P-Head.
Yeah, to be fair, that was a good matchup for him. I'm not sure about the Seaver fight, but I think they just wanted him back in quickly. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, Seaver's like a beautiful technical matchup for McGregor.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
A guy with a massive reach disadvantage. He's not that threatening on like the ground or standing up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's an annihilation fight to me.
Yeah, we need to see who they give him next. If they give if someone comes up next and they give him a Yamas, or they give him someone who is worthy of him, Then I'll start believing it. But like, and I hope that I'm wrong. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be one of these people that just sort of gets on the back of everything for the sake of it. I mean, I hope with all my heart that they do go ahead and give him Frankie Edgar, because I'd love to see that fight. Or Yamas. I'd love to see either of those fights. But I just have this feeling they're going to give Edgar Yamas and just let McGregor just sort of fight Aldo whenever he's ready.
It's hard to think where the timings match up. I mean, I think Ricardo Lamas is going to get booked to fight Chad Mendes. I think that's the fight that makes the most sense.
You think they'll do that?
I think they will, because it's like those are the two that are, they're very highly ranked, but they are pretty far from having another title shot. Because Lamos's fight with Aldo was pretty crap. And yeah, obviously Chad Mendes, he needs to do a lot to earn this spot.
Yeah.
Like back, because like he's just fought. Well, Frankie Edgar like fought and lost to Aldo, but that's probably like, it was a pretty close one. Let's face it.
Yeah.
It was an excellent matchup. Some people argued Frankie Edgar could have won. I don't know. It's just hard to not see logically. Just logically, you have to give the Frankie Edgar the title shot now if Aldo's ready. Because
in my opinion, yeah.
McGregor's fighting in like months. So he's not ready, and beating Dennis Siver in my mind doesn't necessarily justify a title shot.
Nah.
The only thing in my head that says give McGregor the shot, and I think even if they have Aldo Edgar in something like, what sort of time would that be? I don't know. It depends on interest schedule. But let's say that's in spring. McGregor could still wait out for the title shot. And to be honest, I don't think he would mind taking another fight in between that, and I'll be surprised if they do give him one, but
I think they will definitely not allow him to become someone who is not called a fighting champion. It's just in terms of who they're giving him. But to be fair, when he came in first, they did give him Marcus Brimage, who is in paper not that good a matchup, but then again you think of Conor McGregor's 100% takedown defense, who really is a good matchup to fight Conor McGregor when you think about it. I'd like to see him fight Chad Mendes.
Yeah, those are the three. There's four in front of him, I think, in the rankings. I think Mendes, Edgar, Lamas, Swanson. Swanson's just lost. Lamas and Mendes are going to be matched up. Edgar's probably going to do something. I don't know. I'm just looking at the featherweight division now, and I don't really see a matchup for Edgar apart from Aldo. And
agreed.
I think that's this week, unless they set up Ricardo Lamas and Frankie Edgar. Or Chad Mendes, and I don't think they would do Chad Mendes because Chad Mendes just fought for the title. But unless they announce that soon, I think it's Edgar Aldo, because they can't keep Aldo waiting out this long.
Okay, well if that's right, then do you think they will do Mendes McGregor?
See, I don't think they would do that. This is strange. Agreed. This is a hard like matchmaking situation for me to kind of like get my head around.
Yeah, indeed. But then who else do you give him? You just throw him just another generic top 10 featherweight, I suppose.
I don't know. If it was just me, I'd put Frankie Edgar in for the title now. I would match Mendes with Lamas. And Conor McGregor, Siver. Yeah, fuck it. Conor McGregor, Aldo's, or the winner of Edgar Aldo, is probably already beaten most of the guys in the division. Because if we fire down the top 10, I'll bring that up. Below the top five, which I've already mentioned, going from Chad Mendes, Frankie Edgar, Lamas, Swanson, McGregor, you've got Dustin Poirier, who's just been knocked out.
Not him.
You've got Dennis Bermudez, who's just been choked out.
Yeah.
Dennis Siver, who's going to be knocked out. Nick Letts, who's just been beaten by Mendes. Jeremy Stevens, just been beaten by Swanson. Ugh. Clay Guida,
Ugh.
Darren Elkins, Oliveira, Holloway.
Elkins?
Yeah, he's number 12.
Because that's a good way to shut up Darren Elkins' rise, because I guarantee you they don't like Darren Elkins being successful. Because they know that he's never going to make any money for them. So I could see them giving him McGregor, because McGregor's a good style matchup to keep the crap out of Elkins.
That'd be interesting, actually.
If they set up him
with Darren Elkins for a number one contender match. I mean, hopefully...
Well, a filler match in time. Elkins would have
fought in between then.
Yeah.
Because his last fight was that... didn't he just get beat Jeremy Stevens?
No, he just won. I won money on him very recently. Darren Elkins.
Yeah, he had that Lucas Martins fight recently,
yes,
but then before that didn't he get beat by Jeremy Stevens? I'll look it up.
Maybe. I don't remember that one, but that doesn't mean it. I mean, Darren Elkins fights. If you're going to forget a fight from a card, it's probably going to be the Darren Elkins fight.
Yeah. He got beat by Jeremy Stevens, UFC of Fox Henderson vs. Thompson back in January.
He'd been doing well before.
Yeah, they could justify it.
I can see that.
If they match up Elkins with somebody else, he's slated to fight Hakran Diaz.
Yeah, he's fighting soon, yeah. He should win that.
Yeah, that's December 20th. So if he wins that, I could see that matchup happening with McGregor.
Yeah, that one I could see. It's not what I would do, but I could see it.
And then they could say, like, oh, we've set him up with a wrestler.
Mm. Even though, to anyone who actually knows their stats...
Is he really a wrestler? Has he got a wrestling background? Or
he's
am
a
I just
grinder,
stupid,
isn't he?
He's American.
He's a grinder. Let's put it that way. He's one of their Midwestern wrestler types, isn't he? Darren Elkins? Like Kenny Robertson, that kind of type.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Apparently he was a high school freestyle and Greco-Roman wrestler. So.
Yeah, there you go then.
Yeah, good for him. So at least that will make more sense in the kind of like the matchups wise. So that's our technique
and
to
he'll
do
get
with
killed
the featherweight
as well.
Division.
Yeah, and he would get killed by McGregor as well because he has a 100% takedown defense in the UFC.
Yep, they could set that up. That would be that'd be quite interesting to see play out. And the timing wise, that would probably mean
because McGregor is so hot, a bit like Rousey. There is an argument for just giving him as many fights and just back on the idea that the fact that he's fighting will sell the card itself. And sort of not give him the title shot straight away, but just sort of get 4 or 5 shows off of him, just on the back of his name, because you know he's going to win, and give him guys you know he's going to beat, and just sort of give him like four squash matches to fill out the rest of the year. There definitely would be an argument for doing that, especially right now, and there aren't many headline acts in MMA when you think about it. Especially none that are going to fill a stadium. I mean, if they did that after this year, 2015, they could go to Croke Park or one of the big hurling stadiums to sell that fucking place out.
I'm not sure if I disagree with it. No headliners in MMA, but then again, it's just probably because I'm a massive fan and a massive nerd.
I think you're just a nerd, man. I love you now, but did you see the ratings for the... we think of someone like Jacare as a big star, but the ratings for when they went against Bellator were almost equal with Bellator. Do you know
depressing.
What I mean? And it just seems incredible that anyone would choose to watch Bellator where Bobby Lashley was. But Bobby Lashley was probably the most watched fight that night because wrestling, which is now in a down period, still gets about 5 times as many viewers on national television than an MMA event. And a good one with Jacare on it. It's easy to get caught up in MMA because we all take it so seriously and because the media is so saturated, shall we say. There's a lot of media in MMA, but it doesn't actually reflect with the fan base, and it is worldwide as well, but that's not really what drives business for the UFC. Like, American ratings are way more important to them than anything else, and American pay-per-views, because
yeah,
they've already got
to talk about Bellator 131 last week, but have you seen the ratings come out? They stole the show. They made a killing on Tito Bonner.
That's what I'm saying. People know Tito, so they will bother to sit there and watch.
Yeah, I found it really...
I forgot it was even happening, honest. Like, I watched the Paige Van Zandt fight, and then I kind of remembered after that the Bellator was this day. That's how little I cared as an MMA fan, because I know I don't really want to watch these old people fight. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't care.
The most exciting fight to me for that was the Joe Shillian and Manoa fight.
Yeah, it probably was.
I was really excited. I was kind of excited about that, and that delivered. I mean, fucking hell, what a show. Just because I really like Joe Schilling. He's a cool guy. He was expelled from, like, 7 schools as a kid. So, mostly for stuff like smoking pot. And it's like, I don't know, I was listening to him on the MMA hour, and I really immaturely identified with him. Like, I think he was a really cool guy, and it was a really cool fight. There was a weird, did you see the Will Brooks-Michael Chandler fight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Will Brooks, TKO, Michael Chandler. Yeah. And then, like, Ortiz Bonner was pretty crap fight.
Will Brooks is pretty good.
I don't know. Tito, it's like, it's sort of weird with Tito, because it's like, if you'd just been following, like, MMA media for the past few years, you would think Tito's, like, this joke outcast, like, everybody really dislikes him. But he's got a huge, huge fan base. I mean, the crowd were chanting, they're really behind him. I mean, Bonner was the villain in this one. I mean, I don't know, that kind of the thing that we criticised before about the Bonner Ortiz like promotion, it really fucking worked. I mean, this is the highest rated in Bellator history, and it had an average viewership of 1.2 million on US TV.
That's
the peak
one thing.
Of over 2 million.
Let's see what the next one does. I mean, it's one thing, but these two, they're mining these two. Do you know what I mean? They're not producing these two. These aren't homegrown Bellator products. I mean, there's nothing to say that the next Bellator will get any better than the last one. That's the problem with the booking, is, yeah, you are getting off these past names, but whilst you're doing that, you also need to bring up your own talent to make a sustainable product. And the question is, are people going to be interested in the next Will Brooks fight, or are people just going to sit there waiting for him to come into the UFC?
Maybe not. I mean, Will Brooks is a different situation with one of their homegrown ones. What they seem to have got success in, and what I think Scott Coker is going to continue to try and have success in, is like these big, popular UFC outcasts.
I just don't think that's a sustainable model as time goes on.
No, it's not sustainable, really.
That's a problem, though.
Then again, what is? Building up
your own talent.
Having your homegrown talent, and is that sustainable? Because all of a sudden, because then when you have your homegrown talent, this guy's rising, and then everybody's going to say, oh, put him in the UFC. That's not sustainable, because the UFC are going to swallow it up eventually.
Yeah, at least they're having a go at it, though, right?
Yeah, but it's just like, you can't have your own like championships, really, and claim to have like champion of the world, unless you sort of steal all the divisions from the UFC, but that's not going to happen.
Doesn't half sound like TNA, this? Just speaking as a wrestling fan, this is a very similar situation.
Oh, no.
It's a very similar situation. It's almost creepy how similar it is. They're just
fucked. Sort of like, they're possibly going to lose Rampage soon. We talked about like the cryptic messages he was sending out. Rampage not happy with the Bellator, might be going back to the UFC.
Yeah.
But then again, Rampage is one of those guys that likes to blame everybody else for his problems. He never admits guilt for anything. Anytime he loses a fight, it's blamed on someone else. It's blamed on like knee injury. It's like, oh, the UFC told Rashad Evans that my knee was injured, so that's why he went for it. He's left the UFC thinking, oh, my career shit, everything's wrong, it's down to the UFC, they're blamed. And he's come across the same problems in life as when he was in the UFC in Bellator.
Yeah.
And he's confused, and he's like, oh, why is everything still going shit? Could it be me? No, it's Bellator. They suck as well. So
it's true.
He's probably going to have like an announcement of his arrival to World Series of Fighting. Like, yeah, this is a place that treats fighters really well. And then he's going to realize
he's
having the same issues.
1FC will treat him well. If he goes to 1FC, they'll treat him well. They'll give him whatever he wants.
That would be good to see him against the primo light heavyweights over there.
Yeah.
But that's what, I don't know, that's what, one thing, I mean, I think Viacom will really be able to pull out the checkbook for someone like Scott Coker.
Agreed.
Because I think they trust him. I think they trust his vision and business model. So with all the talk of Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley in Bellator.
Brock's just not going to go to Bellator.
Really? Do you think? I mean, if enough money was thrown at him,
no.
Do you think he would? And also, like,
man, I don't see it.
It's hard to tell. I don't know that much about like the man, because a lot of the stuff I've seen of him in his media portrayal has been like this act. I'm not sure of the man himself. If you get what I mean, as in, is his intention in him? Has he got his ego bruised by the demolitions he's last got? He would much rather be in an organization where he can look good. Or is this kind of like competitive athletic instinct, as in, I want to go out there and be the best in the world?
Well, what I'll tell you is this, right? I am a man who has been fascinated with Brock Lesnar for a very long time. And he's a very private man. It's very hard to get in his head, but what I have done is I have read every biography of every WWE wrestler who has gone through the WWE from about the 70s onwards. Not just WWE, but Mid-South, all of that. I am a biography wrestling guy, just a hoarder. I read them all, I love them. And I managed to piece together a sort of an idea in my head of what Brock Lesnar is like, but that might not actually be the case. But in saying that, what I see when I think of Brock Lesnar is I see a man who is a little bit insecure. He's more humble than people think he is. He was very good to WWE when he left them the first time. He was He was very apologetic to Samaka Hakuhali when he broke his neck. He went to the hospital and stayed with him. I think he's someone who holds his own values very close to his heart. I'm not sure his values are that similar to mine, but I think he does have values. I think he's a very family-led person. And I also think he's a very easily led person at times. I think he can sort of get ideas in his head that people have sort of planted there in terms of like what a certain situation is going to be like. And he can be quite suggestible in that. He doesn't always make the brightest decisions, but he is a man who cares about making the right decisions, if you know what I mean. He's very complicated in that way, but I think he's a man that sort of the first conclusion his head comes to on an issue, that's it now. See what I mean? Do you know people like this?
It's okay. With your knowledge of Brock Lesnar, put yourself in his head now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're imagine with his character, his like decision making stuff. You have two options. You want to return to your MMA, and
he doesn't want to return to MMA, man.
As like, coming. Let's say you go back to the UFC and you matched up with a trilogy fight with Frank Mir. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Brock Lesnar at this point a return would warrant a headline of a pay per view. So maybe it's like a headline of a Fox.
That's where you're wrong. That's wouldn't definitely
they, I don't think they can put Brock Lesnar at the head of a
pay-per-view.
Yes, they can. Okay, let's say they offer him
they can and they will.
Headline of a Fox card with trilogy fight with
or
Frank
Fox
Mir.
Card. I could see them putting him on a Fox card.
Okay, what about that's what I said, like a Fox card. Yeah. Like he headlines Fox with Frank Mir. Or you get Bellator who say, okay, we're going to make you our star. We're going to have all this Volca Viacom money behind you. You're going to be the absolute face of Bellator. We're going to feed you that. We're going to, and eventually all the heavyweights from the UFC are going to come over to fight you because you're going to be proven as, like, the top whatever in the world. And you're going to be, like, our champion. And you're going to be very, very well looked after and all the kind of, like, perks and that. What do you think he would go for? Maybe, I'm not sure about the money situation, but let's say they paid more money in Bellator than they would in the UFC. And the UFC, they're not going to give him all the glitz and glamour of championships and titles because he can't really be there yet.
Okay.
And also the timeout he's had. So it's not really, the difference isn't really kind of like the money as much. It's the big fish in a small pond sort of thing.
Okay.
Sort of ego thing. As in he's a champion, he's number one, he's the best guy in Bellator. Or he could be this. He could be this kind of top middle roader in the UFC. Like he's got a big name, but it's like he's going to be put up against Frank Mir. And let's say he loses to Frank Mir because he's been out for ages. His team Death Clutch don't exist anymore.
No.
So I'm not really sure how much further he can go in MMA. And what if he just comes out and gets a beating from the top heavyweights there?
He doesn't care about MMA. Right? It's just that brutal. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about MMA. He doesn't want to return to MMA. He wants to return to the UFC. He doesn't give a crap about MMA. He doesn't care who Shogun is. He doesn't give a crap. All he cares about is staying at home with his family and being on his ranch and doing his thing and being left the fuck alone. And I can relate to him on this because I am so like that. It's unbelievable. I just want to sort of be around and do my thing. I never want to have to work. My entire career, you know this, my entire career has been based upon how can I find a career which allows me to do as little work as possible and still live.
Then why would he want to go to the UFC? That's a lot more work. Because, like Bellator would be a lot less work for a lot more money.
No, it wouldn't. Because if he's the star of Bellator,
have less work.
If he's the star of Bellator, he has to do so much. He has to do media. He has to turn up for all the photo shoots. He has to bother to talk.
He'll have to
people.
Do that in the UFC anyway. But the thing is, like, but then he won't have to train as hard for fights because you'll be against like Bobby Lashley, etc.
Well, it comes back to what I taught you. What I was talking to you earlier about, which was he's very suggestible. And people in the WWE would have told him very early on, this is the WWE, don't go anywhere else, because they're all crap, we're the best. And that's the same Kool-Aid he would have been given by the UFC. And he's not even showing up for WWE, do you know what I mean? He's the WWE champion, he hasn't been on television in 3 months, because he doesn't care. They just offered him like millions upon millions of money for what was basically going to be 3 nights a year. To do a fake fight, and he said, "Yeah, go on then. I'll have a pop at it." and he doesn't care about that, really. He's doing it. He would return to the UFC because he's a man who, you know, he's driven to an extent, but he's not driven to the extent that he would actually, if he lost, that would be it. Do you know what I mean? He's not, if he lost, he would be like, okay, that's my thing. He will turn up and he'll put in a good account of himself and he will try his best. And if they paid him a massive amount of money, he would consider going back to the UFC. But the chances in my head are very slim and they would have to pay him one hell of a lot. But there is no way that he's going to Bellator just because he's a man with an ego. And he knows that people in wrestling would go, Bellator? Why are you going to Bellator? That's Bellator. Bellator sucks, right? It's the same, like when MMA fans heard that Tito was going to TNA, even they knew, they just went, oh, TNA? TNA? But little do you know that, that TNA has had some of the most fantastic matches, some of the most fantastic feuds over the years. You know, Ric Flair versus Mick Foley was an amazing feud. Some tag team matches that were incredible. They brought women's wrestling to the map. But, you know, you don't know about that. And it's the same thing. People in his head, he doesn't even watch Bellator. He probably doesn't even really know it exists. He did that first fight outside the UFC to get into the UFC. The whole thing was to get himself into there, make some money, because he fancied doing it and he was really talented. But right now, he's a lazy man. Do you know what I mean? He's not lazy, but like, he's fine where he is. Do you know what I mean? And he's got loads of money anyway. And he's a man of simple tastes who cares about his family. And it will take a lot to get him to risk his health and come back into the UFC. But he is going to say this whole time, oh, yeah, I'm really into it, just in case. Do you know what I mean? But I think...
I get that.
It just needs to be put into perspective how much he doesn't want to work. I just don't think he wants to work. I think he just wants to retire. See what I mean? But I mean, if someone's going to offer him $3 million to do it, he'd almost feel bad for his family if he didn't. Do you see what I mean?
$3 million to fight Bobby Lashley in Bellator.
He would do it for $3 million. But if they're not going to... For one fight, $3 million. Nah.
Oh, well, Viacom, you never know. And
his,
like,
WWE contract is less than that.
Yeah, I don't think it would feel like one fight. It would have to be some kind of sustaining deal.
And he wouldn't want to do that, man. Especially if they're going to make him do media. He doesn't want to do media. Like, imagine he's Nick Diaz inside his head.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He just hates the media. He's not a social guy. He's a little bit awkward. he makes bad decisions because people over Brock Lesnar's life, no one's ever said, like, no, Brock. Do you know what I mean? He's never been denied anything.
He's a fucking incredible human specimen. He's terrifying.
Agreed. But that doesn't always mean he makes the most shrewd financial decisions or career decisions. See what I mean? He handled his WWE exit, his first one, so badly. And he's handled this one so badly as well. I just don't think... Like, someone like a Paul Heyman has managed to sort of get some money out of him by getting him to do some of the right decisions. Sometimes, but like, Paul Heyman doesn't live at his house. That's a character in wrestling, and he helped forge his wrestling character, yeah, and he helped form his wrestling career and all the rest of it. But outside of that, Brock Lesnar does his own thing, and he's a bit of a Donald Cerrone in that way. But he doesn't enjoy fighting as much as Donald Cerrone, I don't think. I don't think he. Just from watching him, he doesn't look like he enjoys getting punched in the face. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, yeah. As in, he's got an aversion to being hit. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to... He's not a brawler, do you know what I mean? There's a certain mindset that some fighters have, that pretty much all other UFC fighters do have, apart from Brock Lesnar. There is that certain mindset. Brock Lesnar doesn't really have that mindset. Like, he's a much gentler person than that. Do you know what I mean? And it will take a lot to get him out of his seat, and I don't honestly see it happening. $3 million for one fight, I mean, come on, that's extenuating circumstances. Of course he's going to get up for that. I'd get up for that and then tap head to strikes. Of course you would. Who wouldn't?
I would fucking love it if he did that. Like Bellator, they paid $3 million to fight Bobby Lashley. He comes in and just taps and says, thank you, I'll have my check, please. Bye.
This is all done by the commission, right? Yeah, good. So my money will be in the post. I'm allowed to tap out anytime I want. I tell you what, if I was signing him to fight for my organisation, I would want to put in the contract, if you tap to strikes within 15 seconds of the fight, you don't get paid. I would want that in the fucking contract.
Looking at the clock, has that been 15? All right.
Because I do not trust... If you're an MMA organisation, do not trust that man. Because he doesn't care. And that's fair enough if he doesn't want to care. He's a family man. I'm sure he's lovely to his family. I'd love to meet him. Do you know what I mean? He seems to be a good-hearted human being. He honestly does. I have quite a lot of time for him. And I don't think he's going to be, you know, racing to work his way back up through the ranks or anything like that. I don't think he cares about being in the UFC Hall of Fame even. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he takes much pride in it. I think it was just a little bit fun. I don't think fighting Cain Velasquez was fun or fighting Overeem was fun, but I think he finds beating up people fun, and he likes to leave the door open just in case the UFC want to say, look, here's Juan Potts. Fancy beating up on him, and we'll sell it on pay-per-view. And I think he wants to leave the door open for that.
I think it would be Frank Mir.
Yeah, he would fight Frank Mir again.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He wouldn't fight... I don't think he'd want to fight Travis Brown. But I think he would fight Frank Mir again.
Anyways, guys, we're going to take a quick break because I need a piss. When we come back, we'll be get right back into the UFC card. We completely forgot about like the rest of the fights. We only talked about like, Frank Edgar comes Swanson.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we got distracted by all of this. But hey, this is all important stuff that's going on in MMA. This is especially like Lesnar is an important figure. Bellator is an important organization, and currently, like the future of MMA is. And like any kind of MMA outside of the UFC is still up for debate, really. And indeed. What kind of form that will take.
Yep.
So, yeah, anyways, just going to pause, be back in a sec. As appropriate. Is there anything you particularly want to talk about? 2, 1. What the fuck is up? We are back. Yeah, let's go back to UFC Fight Night, Edgar versus Swanson, like all the other shit that happened on there. How should we break this? Ah, let's fuck it. Let's just go bottom up. The first fight on the card, Duho Choi. Or Choi Duho, which is his surname. In Korean, don't they put the surname first and then...
Yeah, but I still think you're supposed to read it out in order because it was always Park Ji-sung. And people used to call him Ji-sung Park, which was wrong. Because I remember he said on an interview once that it was actually supposed to be Park... Park Ji-sung, and then a guy asked him, why haven't you corrected me? And he said, I'm too polite. which I'm thinking was a little bit lost in translation, but it is wonderful all the same.
I think it's just when we anglicise. Yeah, it's Choi Duho, I think. Yeah, Choi is his surname, so that's how it is. But yeah, anyway, fucking beautiful performances. They're really exciting Korean prospects. I mean, like, Korean fighters are really fucking exciting at the moment. I'm really excited to see what happens in that market and, like, all the fighters that rise from there. They've got some really good gyms there. Just, yeah, all-round awesomeness. I mean, he came out, he's got most of his wins by knockout. He's, like, 12-1 prospect. He sort of, Puig comes out, his left hand's low, and so Duho Choi finds out, oh, I could land this right hand whenever I want, and decides... Boom! I'm going to knock him out with this right hand now. Because I don't get that a lot of the time when you have fighters, then they sort of see, all right, this is a major opening. It's like, well, why don't you use it? It's like, if someone has that one major opening where you can get to their jaw clean with a strike, that's a finish. Easy. And you're saying, oh, okay, I can finish this guy. If he's got this much of a technical flaw that I can land a strike clean... Then yeah, finish it. That's what Duho Choi did. He wasted no time, 18 seconds knockout. This guy's exciting. Watch him in the featherweight division. Next, even more exciting a prospect, someone who's been talked about lately a lot in this new exciting women's strawweight division, Paige Van Zandt earns a third round TKO victory over Kaylin Curran. This was a fucking cool fight. A lot of amazing glitch work, a lot of cool throws. I'm really disappointed she wasn't included in the Ultimate Fighter 20. She was meant to be, but because she's 20 years old, and you have to be 21 because there's alcohol in the house. It's like, come on. Why don't you just have no alcohol in the house? I mean, I don't care about seeing, like, Rebecca Rowlings.
Where did that come from?
If I said that. What do you mean?
Where did Hyatt come from?
No, she used to be called Rebecca Hyatt. Remember her ex-husband, the one that she claims abused her?
No.
I didn't hear that episode.
And a couple of them, when I've had to quickly get through them before a podcast, I have been guilty of just skipping to the fight, unfortunately.
Fair enough. Well, basically, that's Rebecca Rowling. She used to be called Rebecca Hyatt. When a couple of her Invicta fights, she was known as Rebecca Hyatt. I think when she fought Carla Esparza, she was Rowdy Rebecca Hyatt. Yeah,
cool.
But her old her ex-husband in Australia, I can't remember his name. But yeah, she came out with this whole thing on the Ultimate Fighter episode and saying that he was really abusive and there was kind of like domestic violence thing going on. And he's sort of come out with several people disrebuting this, saying like she's psychopathic, she's a liar, she's a bully, she's been horrible to all these people. Like, you know, just personal mudslinging. I'm going to reserve my judgment about like both of them. I'm saying it's like, I am going to reserve my judgment. I'm not like pass anything on it. I'm not going to claim that one party is lying, one party isn't, because I don't have enough information to judge. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't care about watching them drunk in the house doing their shit. Yeah. I want to see the best fighters, and Paige Van Zandt, one of the best strawweights. Although, I think she would have had to withdraw anyway because she had a back injury around that time.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong. Yeah, she had a back injury somewhere around that time, so might have led to.
What I'm going to guess is that there's probably something in the insurance for the UFC wherein if any illegal acts are done and they don't want her bringing alcohol into the house or something like that.
Oh yeah, because one of them might have bought it somewhere. Yeah, and
precisely.
Yeah, that's fair. That makes a lot of sense. But
probably an insurance.
Yeah, she came in and she made her UFC debut like really impressive fashion. I mean, I think it wasn't like Caitlin Curran didn't embarrass herself at all. So, like, she put up a great fight. I think she won one of the rounds. Just Van Zandt was out a little bit better. She was fucking tough as fuck. I really liked her corner in this. I don't know if you noticed, but it's just like her corner in between rounds just sort of seemed like really nice, really positive. Like, oh, you're doing great. This is a wonderful performance.
That's the alpha male thing, isn't it?
Second?
That's that alpha male kind of mentality, isn't it?
No, it wasn't alpha male, I don't think. And I think he called her sis at one point, so I was just wondering if that was like her brother in her corner or something.
Oh, really? I thought that was her team.
She's not exclusively with Alpha Male. It wasn't Alpha Male in her corner, I don't think.
No, I was going to say, because I didn't recognise them.
No, I think there were like, there was definitely kind of like a family thing going on there. I think they called her sis, but yeah, it was really nice to also just sort of seeing a fighter like cry after their debut. It's not something I've seen in a while. Like, just have that kind of like joy and victory. It's like, yeah, you really should. It's an incredible thing to fight and push through and pull off a win, especially at the top level in MMA and the UFC. Like, fucking hell, that's an achievement. But anyway, I'm excited to see what she does now. We can't really talk matchups because until we get the finale and we know what's happening with the division from there, then we don't know who's coming off what wins. So I think they're just going to wait until the finale and then they're going to match her up with someone off there. Mm-hmm. If Tisha Torres has gone out of the competition and wins her fight on the finale, I think they'll do that rematch because they've been because that's what Paige Van Zandt asked for. And let's face it, Torres will probably take that.
Yep.
Anyway, Akpar Arayola, another incredible performance over Eve Edwards. Eve Edwards, a guy who's been around quite a lot. I mean, I remember him fighting on UFC 47 against Hermes Franco and 49 with a knockout of Josh Thompson. Like, he's a veteran. He's had like over 60 fights, but yeah, quick demolishment and then beautiful, beautiful armbar.
Yeah,
like,
lovely armbar.
That was a sweet performance. Then we had a ridiculous height discrepancy. James Vick, 6'3" at fucking lightweight against 5'6" Nick Hine.
That's my height.
A lot of time he... Second?
That's my height. That's ridiculous.
Would you fight a guy who's 6'3" at lightweight at the UFC?
If I had arms as long as the German guy did, then maybe. Because, I mean, he was short, but he did have really long arms.
Yeah, and he was able to... but it was still a foot reach advantage that James Vick had.
True.
And that's ridiculous in a fight. But I know, lightweight's a weird one. I mean, Nick Hyatt definitely...
James Vick's a freak, though. His arms are ridiculously long.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, a lightweight's such a weird division because it sounds like, oh, small, but like, lightweights are huge.
Yeah, lightweights are big dudes if you meet them on the street, especially with how they weight cut nowadays.
Yep.
But Benson Henderson's huge.
Like the old days.
Absolutely massive.
And then we got, Luke Barnett, he didn't really fight tall that much. I don't know if that was a shit fight. Yeah, Joe Swickham and Nick Hyman's shit fight as well. Like, hey, it's good to have shit fights again, huh? Like, we missed them after all the other cards with, like, all these insane matchups. And we got some shit fights again with Ruslan Magomedov and Josh Koblen. I don't really remember much of that fight.
Nah, me neither.
I was sort of in... I was watching all these fights with alcohol and painkillers and quite a bit of weed as well. Because, like, hey, I had the bus leave from the fight. Because, like, when I was at the Interclub this weekend, I sort of ended up coaching as well the Thai team and the MMA team from my uni. I can't really mention specifics about teams on thing, but yeah, I ended up coaching there as well. So I was standing around all day, even after my fight, and I bust my knee in it. I was standing around all day, and like the adrenaline just sort of shot out there, and I was in so much fucking pain.
Yeah.
Like, I was borderline going to hernia because I thought, shit, maybe I've torn something in this, but like, it's not too, the knee's not too bad. But yeah, so that's explained. What was my point with this? Oh yeah, well, I can't really remember like these details of some of the shit fights on it.
Yeah,
there was that. There was Joseph Benavidez reminded us that he's still very good.
Yeah,
more or less.
Correct. Yeah, that's fine.
Continued confirmation of his existence. I mean, it's Dustin Ortiz. It's a shame he didn't win, because then we would have had someone who flyweight's a bit fucked than low, because it's just like, who are we going to get to fight Demetrius Johnson? He's just so much better than all of them. He's annihilated everyone in the division.
Yeah.
So I mean, the guys we have to put in now are guys who've lost to guys he's beaten. True. Or rematches. I mean, the Dodson rematch is probably the most interesting matchup.
Yeah, it's got to be Dodson.
And then you've got the John Lineker and Ian McCall.
McCall puts on another impressive performance. He's got a chance.
Yeah, but McCall's lost to Benavidez, who has been beaten twice by Johnson. And,
yeah, true.
John Lineker was beaten by Bagulatinov, who was destroyed by Johnson. But then again, like, there's that everybody.
What else are you gonna do?
That's everybody in the division. Yeah, exactly. Like, Formiga as well. He's out there. Formiga would be a great matchup. He'd be really cool. But, like, who's here, Formiga? But he got destroyed by Joseph Benavidez. So that's Demetrius Johnson's, like, is the most dominant champion in the UFC. He's pound for pound number one.
Yep.
I don't care what anybody else says. It's not John Jones.
Ronda?
Yeah. Pardon?
Ronda?
No, I still see.
Kelsey Garnett has a chance.
Ronda. Yeah, but Ronda hasn't beaten everybody in the top 10 of the division, or has beaten somebody who's beaten everybody.
Yeah, true.
You get what I mean? And there's still like a lot of people out there I see in the top 10 and I think, oh, yeah, they might give Ronda a fight. But yeah, I mean, just Demetrius Johnson's just annihilated all of them. So
yeah,
he got
pretty close to beating John Jones and did on some people's scorecards. No one's got close to beating Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at John Jones, like, everybody out there sort of, like, there's still a lot of people who can give him a fight in the division.
Yeah.
He's not cleaned out the division. Demetrius Johnson has cleaned out the division.
Yeah, completely.
But yeah, and then we saw another heavyweight matchup, Oleksiy Oleynik, another Dagestani.
That was a good fight.
That was fucking cool. That was an awesome counter left. Just boom.
Yeah, heavyweight's crazy. This is why you should never bet on heavyweight. Not that I did, but that's why you shouldn't. Because Rochot was winning that fight easily. But, you know, at any point, one of them big old trucks going to come around the corner and whack you in the head. This is why I thought a lot of people were really harsh on Overeem. Because, yeah, a good shot to the jaw is going to knock him out. But, like, guess what? That probably will for, like, almost any heavyweight. Do you know what I mean? One shot from JDS knocked out Kane in the first fight. I mean, come on.
I would say almost any. I think Overeem definitely has a less of a chin, a noticeably less of a chin than the other heavyweights.
You're rolling the dice in heavyweight anyway, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And if he would have just kicked a little bit harder and broke Ben Rothwell's arm when the ref would have heard it, none of that would have happened anyway, and we'd all be talking about how he broke someone's arm.
Anyway, next fight, Chico Camus. It's from Rufus Sport, so he can go fuck himself. Yeah. Can't stand the fucker. He defeated Brad Pickett. Yeah, another. Well, basically the top British fighters.
Bad decision for me.
Like in the last four have dropped. So yeah, I mean Brad Pickett lost, Luke Barnett lost, Bisping lost, Pearson lost. Why is British MMA so shit right now?
It's not all just wrestling problems either.
No, Yeah,
can't blame it all on that.
I think there's a lot of problems with it. Those would probably be good to talk about with Max. I mean, he's got a lot more experience with the British MMA scene than we do.
He'll probably tell me we're just idiots and they're actually really good and just haven't got a chance yet or something.
All right, we'll see. We'll see that. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of issues, especially with like the just simply the fucking cost of training here.
Yeah, precisely.
And, like, lack of accessibility, and also just in this country, like the way we bring up athletes is just so wrong. And so elitist, and so, oh god, I fucking hate this place.
This country doesn't bring up people well, let alone athletes.
I love if it wasn't for, I love pubs, I love football, I love having a pint of beer and watching football at a pub.
Yeah, correct.
That's the thing I love about England. But apart from that, like
cricket,
I don't know, there's probably, like, oh yeah, I do love cricket.
I love a bit of cricket.
Yeah, we're finding some good things, we're finding some positive here. I love cricket. Yeah,
cricket's nice. It's
like, then again, we have, like, you know, the BBC.
Sky. The Sun.
House of Lords. Daily Mail.
But we do have football.
Yeah!
Football.
Fucking Alan Pardew. Best manager in the game.
Right? You're the only Newcastle manager that doesn't hate him. Newcastle, you're not the manager. You're the only Newcastle fan.
Hey, I was defending him when everybody was saying Pardew out.
I think you're just fair weather, to be honest.
But hey, they're doing great now, and it's like beautiful. But hey, we won't talk about like club football because of our listeners at San Jose probably won't appreciate that. They probably
good point.
I don't know. They could be into like
San Jose Earthquakes.
Newcastle.
San Jose Earthquakes are an MLS team. Yeah, their GM is Billy Bean. Oh, if he's not the GM, he's involved with them. The guy from Moneyball, the Oakland A's GM.
Oh, yeah.
So that's interesting.
Anyways, co-main event. Edson Barboza versus Bobby Green. This was a weird fight.
I was just going to say, this is a really weird fight.
It was just Bobby Green sort of like coming and insulting him, and then Edson Barboza hitting him.
Do you know what I compared? I compared it to like a Pokemon battle. Because it was almost like Green, it was just like, they were both level fives, and Barboza was just like, tackle. And then he was just like, tail whip. Tackle.
Exactly.
And then taunt, Bobby Green was like, taunt, tackle. And by the end of it, you'd just been sitting there and your thumbs hurting, and then Bobby Green lost and he got tackled one too many times, and then that was the end of the fight. And it was like, what the fuck was that then? He lowered all his defense points for what? You didn't even get hit in, mate. What was the point? Do you know what I'm saying? That was crap from Bobby Green. Bobby Green is so much better than that.
Analogy.
He has the talent to be really good, Bobby Green, but that was a crap performance. Really crap. There's better to come from him, though.
It was fucking annoying when he was sort of saying, like, oh, he's just running away from me the whole fight. Yeah. Was he running away from you when he floored you with that spinning wheel kick? That's not running away.
Yeah, Nick Diaz never landed a spinning wheel kick to the head of Carlos Condit. And I gave that fight to Condit.
Oh.
But still, yeah, that was a beatdown. That was fantastic kickboxing by Edson Barboza. Brilliant footwork, brilliant timing. Just worry about his chin, really.
It was tremendous. I don't know. I don't think he has chin problems that much.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, are you just saying that because he got floored by a jab from Cerrone?
Oh, I thought Bobby Green landed a couple that made Edson feel a little bit, oh, I didn't enjoy that. I'm not sure if you call that a chin problem.
Getting punched in the face.
Nah, true.
Which probably sort of, that was probably sort of like a realisation as in, okay, I need to adjust my game. I shouldn't have been moving in that way as to get hit.
Okay.
That was probably more his reaction, but I don't think he has chin problems. We saw him lose to Varner. We saw him lose to... I know his least impressive performance to me was Danny Castillo. I mean, that's the only time I've looked at Barboza and thought, okay, this guy might not be a contender. He's the kind of...
Danny Castillo did that to you, though.
So, you know, it was a really good fight, but it's just like Castillo like bested him in a lot of areas. Cerrone's just exceptional. He does that too. He does that to so many people, so... That's how I saw that.
Do you know
fight.
When Tony Ferguson's fighting next?
Tony Ferguson, yeah, he's fighting UFC 181. He's fighting. Oh, it's a really good fight. It's Abel Trujillo.
Oh shit, that is a good fight. I didn't know about that one. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
because I'd like to see the winner of that fight, Edson Barboza.
That would be good. Yeah, that would be very good. I would love that. I would love to see Tony Ferguson on Edson or Abel Trujillo fight Edson Barboza.
Hell yeah.
I mean, fuck Abel Trujillo. Oh, I've just realised in the UFC 181 card, there's so many people who I'm actually going to be like, boo, fuck you.
Because they're Rufus Sport.
Just prepare for fighters. Well, no, not just Rufus Sport. Well, I'm going to be like that for Abel Trujillo as well, because he's like a woman beater.
He's a bit weird.
Yeah, it's sort of weird. They sort of like, oh yeah, he has domestic violence charges, but we're going to sort of ignore it. Just like when, as soon as...
He's entertaining, I think that's why. I think people are quite willing to stick up for someone.
I don't know, it's just, it just annoys me. Like, I respected the UFC greatly when they came out with a statement about, like, okay, yeah, we're going to suspend Rumble Johnson, we have zero tolerance to domestic violence, we're going to have a third-party investigation, and then sort of like the Ray Rice situation dies down, and then they sort of like... Yeah, as in, like, Rumble Johnson's back in. Well, they say because the charges were dropped, and they say, well, what was the result of the third-party investigation? Because just because the charges were dropped, or, like, it's been, the case has been thrown out, doesn't mean he didn't do it.
Mm.
And what about Abel Trujillo? Why aren't you talking about him?
Yeah.
But, hey, oh, well, yeah, so I'm going to be like that with him. Sergio Pettis is on there. Anthony Pettis is on there. And, yeah, because of them defending Rufus Sport in the situation... It's that was a little technical blip. But yeah, anyway, I hope you all have kept up to date with the situation over at Rufus Sport, the psychopathic cunts that they are. We went into it in depth in the last episode, why I hate Rufus Sport, and all the fighters who are coming out and defending the coaches. Like, they're gonna, I mean, the worst of all, if you go on Sherdog and you watch the interview Ben Askren gave, I had this whole thing. I wanted to come on with an extra run on the podcast the other week. Charlie decided it was best not to. Probably not, because
it would have been too funny.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the
and
problem.
Like,
you shouldn't be adding levity to the
situation.
I wasn't
intending to be funny. I'm intending to really I was intending to express my absolute contempt for this man, for Ben Askren, because he practically blamed Dennis Munson Jr. for dying. He was sort of excusing the corner men. He was excusing, like, the fight officials. And it's just, it was just obscene. And I will never, ever, I already hated him, but I will never, ever respect him in any sense of the word.
I'll never pay for one of his fights.
As a martial artist, I will never do anything to give him money. But hey, he's a scumbag anyway. He's a piece of shit. Fucking, he's a bit of a bitch,
you know,
as well, like going over and hiding in Asia and earning more money because he can't, and talking shit about fighters in the UFC that he would get his ass kicked by.
Yeah.
Because he ain't shit, fucking Ben Askren. What are you? Yeah, you were just brought up in wrestling quite well. You can't beat anybody legit.
Yes.
What the fuck are you? You can just wrestle. You're a good wrestler. You're not a fighter.
Correct.
You're not a fighter. You aren't shit. Stop talking about real fighters like Johnny Hendricks, you twat.
Yes. You're just a wrestler.
Go out and beat someone.
Knock someone
Get
out.
Get a fucking haircut. You look ridiculous. You twat. Fucking hate him so much. But yeah, Anthony Pettis, I don't know, the person that's got... I like to believe that Pettis is just dumb and manipulated by these guys. But also, like, I was talking with someone about full contact sparring recently. And I says, like, it's an outdated training method. Like, all fighters, they don't have, like, this full contact sparring method. But then I realised, like, well, the fighter that probably does is Pettis, and he's injured all the time.
Yeah, precisely.
So what does that say about the camp? The fact
an AKA as well could be guilty for a bit of that.
Really? AKA? I've heard they're quite good at it. They're good with it.
Like from some people. I'm just going from Cain Velasquez, really, here. What's going on there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But none of their
I
other fighters...
I think they work too
like,
hard,
so
is the
much.
Thing. Like, they don't take enough days off. They don't let themselves rest very well, it doesn't seem like to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, a good coach will take that all into account. I mean, this is why a lot of people say...
Their fighters,
like,
seem to age early.
You can't have a coach with a fighter's mentality, if you get what I mean.
Mm, I see what you mean.
As in, like, that's why Greg Jackson's so good, because you can be, like, the brains of the fighter. I mean, the fighter has to, like... This is a kind of weird thing, but you have to sort of suspend your kind of logical skills, just in the sense of like pushing yourself so much, and you've got to have someone else holding you back where it needs to be, because you can't have that sense of holding back within yourself if you're going to succeed as a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you need someone like you can trust and is very well versed in the game and very knowledgeable of the game to know when to draw a line on some things and be the person to tell you, like, no, you're not going to train anymore this week. Like, you've got to rest for a bit, or you've got to go a bit easier on that bit of sparring. You're going to do this today. You can do that today. Just that sort of shit.
Mm.
But yeah, I fucking hate Rufus Sport. I fucking hate all of them. Psychopaths.
We just need to repeat what they've done, really, don't we? Just
what,
again,
no.
I mean, we don't need to sit here and just say, you know, oh, they're psychopaths. Just like they let a man die because they were too stubborn to let him lose, and they didn't care enough, right?
And they've not apologized after,
and they don't feel bad about
it. Like, they've swept so much stuff under the rug. They're trying to pass this off, cover their own arse. And if you look at like the cornermen in there, they're defending these cornermen. The one who's slapping him between rounds, and didn't all these people?
The one who's slapping him in between rounds.
Yep.
The one who's slapping him in between rounds. And that wasn't a kind of, oh, wake up, stop fighting so badly. He was clearly just fucked. But it was their hometown. It was their gym. He wasn't at his best. He was dehydrated. And they were pissed off at him. I think there's definitely a case for saying, like, it might have just been one of them things. Like, in sport, where you just leave someone out there. Do you know what I mean? It's something you see in a lot of other sports where, like, if a basketball team goes down 20, like, rather than pull out the starters, you put the starters back in to send a message like, nah, you're going to stay getting pwned by this team. Do you know what I mean? It seemed more like that than it did, like, you know, get yourself into the game, son. You're better than this. It just seemed completely, ugh.
Everybody makes mistakes, but they've not come. They've not admitted to this. I mean, if I had done this, I would be so fucking apologetic, and I would be. But these guys, they've been covering their own asses. They've been hiding away from it. They've not admitted to any guilt. I mean, I have no idea how they can. Any of the people there, or any people who are defending it, can live with themselves at all. Like, as part of this fucking cover up. I don't know. Yeah, we shouldn't get into all this.
We shouldn't use the words cover up, I don't think.
It's
denial, right? Like, oh no, it was sickle cell. Well,
but anyway, should we, Scott Cushman, by the way, is the
he's a striking guy, right?
Woman, and what was the other one called? Like Joe Nickel or something like that?
Joe Nichols. Yeah.
Basically, you two, seriously. How do you live with yourselves?
If they've got a good answer, I'd love to hear it. If you want to tell me why you were slapping him, why you were slapping him, tell me why then. Do you know what I mean? If you're innocent, tell me why you were slapping him. Because the only logical answer...
Why didn't you stop the fucking fight?
Why not? Because the only logical answer I can think to why were you slapping him was basically just to humiliate him. Because what were you trying to do? Wake him up? Like, you could clearly see he was not going to come back into this fight. I'm sorry. If you, like, someone who knows as much about fighting as someone like Cushman does, I refuse to believe that he could think that that man was anything but fucked. Right? He crossed his feet. I mean, come on.
Yep.
I refuse to. Either he's incredibly incompetent, or he was really reckless. It's got to be one of the two, right?
Mm-hmm.
So which one are you? Pick one.
Bringing it back to, like, the people, like, the fighters in the hip. Because, like, I think it's perfectly acceptable to hate the fighters at Rufus Sport for this, because they know about fighting as well. Ben Askren, he knows about fighting. He's been in fights, apparently.
he's been on top of people in fights.
and he goes to MMA gyms. So he should know. Like, oh, okay, this fight. Anybody who's got a fucking brain knows what should have been done in this fight, and the corner men, like, are fucking unforgivable. But then he's, like, giving this interview where he practically blames Dennis Monson and completely defends the coaches, completely defends all. Because all of this.
There's one thing we forgot, man.
Yeah, okay, if you go out and you defend this, because you obviously know you're bullshitting, you're not deluded. But what you're doing is you're covering your arse and the arses of the people you're working with.
Yeah.
The only way I will ever respect Anthony Pettis, Sergio Pettis, any of those guys, is if they just come out like, what these coaches did and what Rufus Sport have done is unforgivable. I am not going to be a part of it anymore. There's loads of great MMA gyms out. I would love to see Pettis at Jackson Winklejohn or at AKA or somewhere else. But yeah, if you stand by Rufus Sport, I hope Gilbert Melendez destroys you.
There's one thing you forgot about this, right? The event was being put on by the gym, right? It was being put on by them too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, the referee who was on the payroll of them said to police that his instructions included taking into account the entertainment of the audience.
It's chilling.
That actually happened.
Not happen.
This is all out ever. There. We're not making this up. There was a great article in the Milwaukee, I think it was Journal or something, one of them American newspapers. And
yeah, just Google Dennis Watson Jr.
Exactly. Google it, have a watch. And it's got the autopsy report on there if you want to look at that. All we're saying is we're just repeating the words of what has happened that people have said has happened that have been reported elsewhere. We're just secondary sources here, right? We're not even alleging anything really here, are we?
Well, it's like even if you
we're just dealing
listen to the podcast last week, we have our medical expert in with us, so and he goes over like a lot of this stuff. So, yeah. Anyways, that's that. But I forgot how this started now. Oh yeah, Chico Camus,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, Chico Camus.
So, and Brad remember Pickett. What we were talking about UFC 181.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, we're talking about Brad Pickett and how, like, there's three fighters on the UFC 181 card that I just want to see get knocked the fuck out.
Yeah.
And just have some kind of karmic payback for their horrible decision. I'm hoping, like, the guilt's just going to eat at them. But anyways. Anything else you want to talk about, Charlie, whilst we're still on the air? We could probably go for a bit more. I mean, I'm not...
We were going to talk about Matt Wyman, weren't we?
Oh, yeah. He gave an interview on the MMA Hour. He came up with a few interesting things. He didn't have sponsors for this event. He compared it to drug dealers and saying, like, oh, I've heard the worst thing about doing drugs is dealing with drug dealers, which I disagree with, to be honest. Because, well, I don't know. Well, I'm a pothead, though. So our guys are usually lovely and friendly. I assume if you're a heroin addict, you're on crack or something, they might not be as good. But I love my little banters with the pot guy when he comes and picks me up in taxi and just sort of run around and delivers me a 20 bag. Like, yeah, you lovely guys, and I find it's a very enjoyable part of. But yes, regardless. Kind of a bit sidetracked there. What was the point? I'm just thinking about weed now.
Matt Wyman, apart from talking about
he's not dealing with sponsors because he just doesn't like the shady business around there. As a sort of, I think there was a Metallica line though, in it's all about Sweet Amber on the Saint Anger album. It's like, I'll scratch your back so you don't stab mine. And I think that's their dealing. A lot of the people have with sponsors, as in, like, oh, you have to wear this shirt this certain way, or otherwise we could cut you off from promoting and this sort of thing, or like, oh, you're not going to be allowed on this radio show which we have connections with, or oh, we're going to get these promoters to work against you if you don't do this sort of certain thing in that way. So I assume he's had a few dodgy business dealings around there with sponsors that they've sort of made threats to screw him over. It's a weird thing about sponsorship, and I'm usually like, oh, well, okay, anything that helps give more money to the fighters, that's brilliant. I mean, allow them to have
UFC
more money.
Cap that,
say again?
Don't UFC like cap their sponsorship money or something?
Yeah, something complex. I don't know.
I wish I'd done more research so I could talk about it now. But that wasn't the bit I wanted to talk about.
Of business.
That wasn't the bit I wanted to talk about, though. It was the bit about the...
I was just getting into this first. Well, think about it. It's like the whole sponsorship thing is weird. It's Well, no, when you deal with business anyway, there's obviously, there's going to be some scumbaggery in it. And I assume he's had some like bad business dealings and he would rather be done with the whole world. But what you wanted to talk about was his comments on MMA journalism.
Yeah. And he makes a very important and intrinsic point that is at the very heart of whether this sport will succeed or not, which is, do we or do we not want people talking about cage fighting wearing suits? And this is a very important philosophical question that we need to answer. And the real question that he's asking here, or the question that was brought up from this, is how do we market this? Do we market this as a sport, or do we market this as a spectacle? And if you want it marketed as a sport, is there a way to market as a sport without going into the generic ESPN way of presenting sport? Do we need to all wear suits and sit in the studio? Or can we have a more sort of matey presence to it? Similar to the early UFCs, where it was just sort of people sitting around. They didn't have to wear anything in particular. The dress code was lax and all of that stuff. And do we have them turn out for all of these massive PR events? Or do we sort of present them more as crazy outlaws or go about it that way? And it's a question that is really at the heart of the sport right now. And a lot of people sort of wanting to decide what this sport really is. And I think we need to answer this question as a community and as a sport before we can actually expand, because it's really messed up right now in that you can have this really slick, you know, Jay and Dan from Fox Sports, who are these really light-hearted people. Face the pain! Face the pain! What? Do you know what I mean? This makes no sense. The way the sport is presented makes it, there's no continuity there. There's really nice, smiley people at Ariel Helwani, and there's really nice journalists like Karen Bryant and the Sherdog guys who are a little bit more sort of California, a little bit more laid back. And we don't really seem to know how to present this sport. And the thing is, I think that's okay. Do you know what I mean? I think it's fine that we don't really know how to present the sport. I think we should just throw our balls on the table and say, this is what it is, this is what it is. And by that, I mean, what is Jay Glazer doing in the studio? Like, he's the kind of person that I'm not really sure why he's there. The way that they're presented, do we need to see the robots fight each other on Fox? Do we need to see that? Do we need the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun music?
It's a nice addition.
But if you want to go that route, you need to lose face the pain. Do you see what I mean? It's these mixed messages of the kind of, oh, our sport is a safer thing than boxing. Face the pain! Here's some highlights of him ripping his head off! Isn't it brutal? Like, you can't have both. Do you see what I mean? You need to pick one. This doesn't make sense. And it doesn't float with people who aren't already in this bubble. They get confused when they watch it. They can't decide what they're watching. It either terrifies people or people end up disrespecting the athletes because they just go, yeah, pain, awesome. And that's the problem, is neither of those two people are correct. Do you see what I mean? I think we need to be more proud of it as, you know, really talk about the martial arts and talk about the technique that's involved, and talk about how clever you have to be able to pull it off. And I think once you can do that and you let fighters do what they want and, you know, cut down on some of the PR and cut down on the PR budget, cut down on, you know, make a more sort of stripped down press conference style. If you do that, I think you have a real chance. But yeah, I think he does bring up something good in what he said, Matt Wyman.
I find it hard to sort of see through the outside perspective, because when you mention the bubble, I'm probably about as deep as in the bubble
as you
can
really are.
Yeah. I can't even see the like sudsy lines of the bubble. I am so deep in there. But I don't know, I think you're looking slightly too deep into this in the context of his comments. I think what we really meant when he's talking about like, oh, people in suits, I think that was just a generic way of expressing not necessarily like over formality, just sort of like pampered people isolated from the sport who don't really know it.
Yeah,
because this is a weird one. I mean, when you have like the NFL or football, most people who report on any of these probably have played some football in their lives. But majority of, I mean, the commentators like Joe Rogan and Mike Goldberg, neither of them have ever done MMA in their lives. Mm-hmm. As in, they've competed, never kind of like had low level competition in MMA. They've never like competed in it. So it's like what would I do to have partial judgment on it when you've not really been involved as well? I mean, do we have any right to? I mean, I've not fought proper MMA. I will on December 13th. Well, amateur, but you know. So will that mean I have more of a right to you to talk about like MMA related subjects?
Nah, I don't think so.
Nah, oh really?
No.
But hey, does that make us more relevant journalists though? Because I am sat here in like a tap out shirt and shorts, as I always am. Does that make me more relevant than guy in a suit?
Well, I'll tell you why it makes you relevant is because you are both. Do you see what I mean? Like, there are some people who are fighters who can give you that kind of experience, and there also are good orators, and there's space for both of them. But you see, why this will make you more relevant is because then you will have both. Do you see what I mean? And these are the really great media personalities that we come to really think are at the top of their sport. Like, a great example right now is Jalen Rose, who is an NBA journalist now for Grantland. He played 13 years in the NBA, former All-Star, great player, and a really intelligent dude who is also very articulate. And he's currently probably the hottest journalist in basketball, in my opinion. I mean, Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons have something to say about that. But when I want to hear a little bit of opinion about something, he's the first place I go. Now, you can go down that route that Matt Wyman wants to go down. And that route includes people like Brian Stamm. And it includes people like Kenny Florian sometimes, but people who are good orators, like Chael Sonnen, people who are good orators who are involved in the sport. See what I mean? And you can do that. You can get people who are both, but that's why Chael Sonnen just signed a multi-million-dollar contract probably with ESPN. Because Chael Sonnen is shit hot, and he will be a good MMA journalist probably until he's 80 years old. Or you can go the other way and have this sort of clean look and sort of try and appease some of the more sort of mainstream fans, and you can go that way if you want. I don't think that way works.
Do people really care about that?
No, I don't think so. This is what I'm saying to you. And I think that's what Matt Wyman's kind of hinting at as well. I don't think people care about their opinions. Do you know what I mean? I don't think any UFC fan really cares what Jay Glazer has to say.
I don't know. It's quite hard in some ways, but is Jay Glazer really like a forthright opinion in MMA?
He's the anchor. On the bloody Fox cards.
Yeah, but he's an anchor. He's a commentator. He's not really someone who has like Joe Rogan, I say, was someone who like has an opinion that carries in MMA. As in like when someone makes a statement on something, as in they have the ability to make out statements that will make news.
Yes.
Someone like John Anik, he's not going to like... Joe Rogan says things out there and it makes news. It's like, oh, Joe Rogan has like this opinion on something. And that will change like a lot of people's views in MMA. And that'll be widely reported and discussed. Nobody's kind of like discussing what Jay Glazer thinks on an issue.
No.
So he's just sort of there for like, you know,
But he's not engaging. That's my problem. Like, I don't feel like he engages the audience. Do you know what I mean? I think I just kind of think that's a problem. Like, you know, when we're British, right? We talked about Britain earlier. When you sit down, you hear that but 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 bum but 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 bum but but, and then you hello, I'm Gary Lineker, and I'm a lovely little orator, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about football today. Welcome, here's the show. Do you know what I mean? It just you fall into the show because Gary Lineker's really good. Jay Glazer is very like, hello, hi everyone, welcome to the UFC. I've got some people with me. And it's just like, it just doesn't fit because the fighters are just not on like, because I think he has this idea in his head of what he has to be like. And it's this kind of trouble TV, if you remember that kind of teenager attitude where he gets really excited and it's all extreme sports. And then the fighters just kind of like, yeah, should be a really good technical, cerebral matchup. It's not like, oh my God. It's like, yeah, this will be really fun. But like, it doesn't fit with me. Like the studio segments, they just don't fit with me. And I think that fits in with the way that they market as a whole and all of the PR and the way they set things up. I just think it's way too slick. I think they need to really just sort of put people who are involved in the sport and use their own judgment of who's the best guy to put in there. And if it's Ariel Helwani, then he's the best guy to put in there. And if it's Kenny Florian, he's the best guy. But stop worrying about what everyone else thinks. See what I mean? Because I bet you they're paying Jay Glazer more money than they're paying anyone else on that bloody panel.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have anything against Jay Glazer. I really like him.
No, but he earns a lot of money.
Yeah.
See what I mean? So what are they paying for, really? Because I don't think he actually improves the product. I just think there are tons of other people who could sit in and do that anchor role if that's what they want. But I don't think they should do that. I think they should stick no anchors on the bloody panel and just have different guys anchor it every week and run the whole thing like a podcast. Do you see what I mean? I mean, because you're kind of... Yeah, I'd say you're probably the anchor of this because you go through the agenda stuff. And that does work. But it's also quite like pally. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a conversation. It's not just, Charlie, what do you think about this? Tony, what do you think about this? Like, there's more of a conversation about it. And I think that is the future of sports journalism. And I think the UFC needs to realise that and get rid of the men in suits and have more of a sort of pally, podcasty style discussion.
Can they do that on Fox? I mean, can't they have, like, both? As in, on Fox, in the in-between things, they have all that, that kind of slick style, and they have the kind of podcasty elements outside. Because you do have that in MMA media anyway, because we've got, like, the MMA Hour, we've got Punch Drunk Philosophy, you know, all the kind of highlights of MMA journalism that's out there. So, I don't know, it's just like, do the UFC need their own brand of journalism? That's the thing. Like, all this is like commentary on how the fights are going. I don't know, I find it hard to say. I've not really considered it before. I've always been okay with, like, apart from BT Sports one, which was shit.
Yeah, that was weird. But that's what we're talking about. That was slick journalism, do you know what I mean? That was sick, let's make a Eurosport magazine-style show, right?
I got so annoyed through all of it, they knew nothing about MMA.
No. And that's frustrating, right?
Big time.
I would rather have bad orators that know about MMA than the other way around. And I think pretty much every single MMA fan feels that way. And I think they have the opinion that people like Jay Glazer will help them break into the mainstream. And I think they're wrong. That's my point. I don't think Jay Glazer is your ticket to the mainstream.
Then again, I do have a high standard for MMA knowledge, considering Joe Rogan recently I out-nerded.
Yeah, that is...
last card.
Yeah, maybe not you. Like, I expect him to be smarter than me.
For those guys who don't remember, it was like a UFC 180. 2 points were taken away for a headbutt, and Joe Rogan said, "Oh, that's the first time I've seen 2 points taken away in a fight." And I corrected, like, I was shouting at the screen. It's like, no, UFC 143, Alex Cazares versus Edwin Figueroa. He had 2 points taken away for repeated groin kicks. And I realised, like, I was nerdier about the sport than the guy who'd been sitting there next to them watching them.
Well, here's what we have to do, is you have to keep growing the podcast, and eventually you can replace Jay Glazer, because you'd be tons better than him. There you go. Problem solved. We've saved the UFC.
And that's the show, guys. Thanks for joining us this week, as ever. We'll be back probably later in the week. I guess we'll give... Yeah, there's not an event this weekend, so...
What?
Hey, whenever there's big MMA news... Yeah, I know, it feels weird. There's no event on this weekend.
That's
ridiculous.
There's not going to be many of these weeks next year.
I sort of feel pretty empty on a weekend where there's no UFC. Don't you?
No. Just like... I don't, but I follow 17 different sports, so...
Oh, fair enough. Well, at least there's football on the weekend. I mean, Newcastle West Brom's going to be good.
That should be a good game, actually. I think you might get beat there.
No way.
Do you know what's funny? You've just outed yourself as a Newcastle fan, right? If I say I'm a Man United fan, I will get tons of people like, well, you won't because no one ever emails us because you all suck. Or Twitter.
No.
But hypothetically, I'd have loads of people saying... They'd be saying, you know, you're not from Manchester. Do you know what I mean? But because you're a Newcastle fan, no one's going to think to write in and say, oh, he's not from Newcastle.
No, probably not.
That's hypocrisy.
But it's sort of like... Charlie, there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I thought we had a cut then. But anyway...
No.
Yeah, sorry, we've had a few technical difficulties throughout this
show. We've sold you. You lot have no idea listening. How difficult.
Oh yeah, apart from when I reveal it, I reveal sometimes that we've had technical difficulties in the show, and I it's annoying for you because you've edited it masterfully.
Yeah, I've already edited it, so they don't even know.
Difficulties out, and then here's me talking about like, oh, sorry, we've had real horrible technical difficulties all the way through this show.
I'm gonna leave this one shit.
Just like, what?
I'm gonna leave this whole show shit. just so you know what actually happened. You were just hearing us in the middle of the cop, and you'll go, oh, sorry, I had a little bit of foot then difficulty. That's what it's going to sound like now.
But yeah, regardless. Okay, well, also, we don't do the social media plugs ever. I probably should do
it. Oh, we always forget.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, well, follow us on Twitter at PD Philosophy. Sorry, we don't really use it. I used it a couple of times to send abusive tweets to Ben Askren, but yeah, we probably should. I mean,
you're gonna get us sued on that one day.
I hope they do, because then I can insult Ben Askren personally and challenge him. Because I don't respect the man any slightest, and if I got the chance to tell it to him in person, I'd be very happy about it.
If you want to get Adam's cerebral breakdown of how horrible a person Ben Askren is, listen to the podcast. If you want to see him rant and call him a pube head, follow us on Twitter.
I did call him a pube head.
This is what I told you can't call him, because it's too funny.
But his head it wasn't my idea, it was Conor McGregor. He called him pube head originally. And it's just like, and so I want that to become his new name. I want everybody to think of him as pube head.
Why can't we just think of him as a horrible human being? He doesn't deserve to be a pube head. He's worse than a pube head.
Well, it replaces his name. It replaces his name, that's the thing. So when people are referring to him, it's like, you know, the pube head.
Oh, the pube head.
So it's an effective tool in that.
Like, I don't enjoy saying it, though. It doesn't roll off my tongue.
Fair enough. Okay,
there's a lot of articulation.
If anybody out there can think of a more creative insult to Ben Askren, please tweet at us at PD Philosophy. Or, like, you know, hit us up on Facebook. I think we got a Facebook page somewhere.
We're on iTunes as well, so if you're still coming on Podomatic, I love the site and everything, but I don't. So, like, subscribe on iTunes. Oh, yeah.
Subscribe on iTunes. Do they do like reviews and shit on there? And
oh yeah, review
ratings?
Us as well. That'd be fun. If you review us, we'll read out your whole review on air.
Yep. And like, hey, if anybody wants to, if
we'll
anybody
read out
has
anything
like,
you want to
opinion,
say,
we can take you on the show.
Whatever it is, we'll read it out. It'll be brilliant. Hey, this one's from John from Berkshire. Says Adam's a cunt. That'd be great.
Yes,
brilliant.
Anything.
Send it in.
Like, especially bad ones. I really want.
Oh God.
Any kind of thing, anything you want to say about the show. Like,
I'm quite sensitive, so you might actually hear me like cry on the show if you insult us.
I'm not sensitive. It should insult me as much as you can. I dare you.
Oh God.
If we were a bigger podcast, this would have opened the floodgates.
Yeah. I kind of want the floodgates
anyways,
to open.
Yeah.
I'm kind of annoyed that there are no floodgates to open.
Well, we have listeners.
We know you're listening. We've got numbers. Why the fuck are you?
Well, it's just like, well, we don't do much social media stuff. But anyways, if anybody got anything on social media, like if you want to interact with us, go for it. If you don't, then just listen to the show. Enjoy. That's what it's for. But yeah, if you've got any opinions about any subject, I mean, you can, yeah, if you got something especially unique to say, like you could definitely join us on the show at one point.
Unless you're an idiot. You're not allowed to come on the show if you're an idiot.
No, you know, even if you are an idiot, because you can come on the show and then we can, like...
Call you an idiot.
Expose your... Yeah.
Hey, mate, you're an idiot. Yeah, all right.
But regardless, we have to go back to, like, the busyness of what we do in our daily lives, you know?
Nothing.
What are you going to do this evening, Charlie?
I'm going to watch basketball... And not wear any trousers.
Oh, okay. Well, trousers anyway. Like, it's like shorts. That's where it's at. Even when it's cold.
I only own fighting shorts. I've never worn any shorts that aren't specific for sport shorts in my life. Just basketball shorts, football shorts, and MMA shorts. That's it. I don't own any other shorts.
How much time have you actually spent doing the sports in them compared to just sort of like said lazing around?
Oh, when I was younger, I used to play a lot of football.
Oh yeah, good.
I was quite active in MMA for at least 2 years. Does that count?
That counts. You're gonna come back to it. Come train with me this week. Yeah.
I may well do. It depends on my personal life.
Oh fuck, we're still on the air, aren't we? I was just sort of like asking you what you're doing this evening. Like, are you going?
It's the end of the podcast. They don't have to listen to this.
Yeah. Okay. Well. all right, I'm going to go cook some food, smoke some weed, and then I'm going to watch The Wrestler. Just torrented that.
Oh, that's a great film, man.
Is it a really good film?
Oh, my God, I love that film. Are you kidding me?
Oh, it's so weird for you to like a film. You usually hate films.
Oh, so. I do hate films, but The Wrestler is amazing.
Is it? Oh, I'm excited, man. I've heard it's a good thing.
Mickey Rourke is incredible. He resurrected his career there.
Nice. I can't wait. I mean, like, I know it's highly recommended. I've been meaning to watch it for ages, but I haven't.
The only thing is, don't watch The Wrestler with me, because I will sit there and I'll point out, oh, that's Necro Butcher, and every single indie wrestler that's in the film. Like, every single 2005 indie wrestler from, like, crap Mid-South DVDs, like, not Mid-South, IWA South DVDs that I just, you know, hoarded. I'd end up pointing them all out, and then you'd just be like, Charlie, you just fuck off.
I sort of did that with Warrior as well. Like, it's like, oh my God, it's Josh Rosenthal! It's Josh Rosenthal!
That ref is Josh Rosenthal! Get your hand off me! We're on a date, Adam! Yeah.
He's an actual MMA ref who got busted for, like, dealing weed, so I love him extra more.
He's a prison. He's
That's
in
basically
prison.
What I want to do in life.
Solidarity with Josh Rosenthal, by the way.
Oh yeah, solidarity. I loved Herb Dean, like, talking about it, saying, like, well, he's paying his debt to someone, definitely not society, but someone.
Yeah, indeed.
I really liked the way he said that, because it gave him away, like, the MMA media couldn't spin it like Herb Dean comes out in favor of convicted drug dealer. He couldn't play that, but he was making it very obvious where he stood on the issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we've made it very obvious where we stand at issue, where I stand. I mean,
No, I'm pro-legalization all day. Are you kidding me?
Are you allowed to say that? Are you allowed to say that on the podcast? I was just wondering if you were allowed to sort of, like, publicly say that on the podcast.
I think you can. Yeah, I think you can say you're. I think you can say you're, you know, anti anything.
No, I mean, I know I can, but I was just wondering if you can, like, considering, like, you have, like, stuff in your life.
I'm not sure. To be honest, I think within 5 years it will be legalized anyway, and I don't think it will be an issue.
Sweet. Anyways, after this.
Plus, I'm going to live in Holland soon, so. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Doesn't really matter to me.
Oh, is that actually moving forward? Like.
Yeah, I'm going to go learn to coach.
Like,
I want to be a football coach. I'm going to learn to coach. I'm going to go get my coaching badges in Holland.
Oh, sweet. That'd be awesome, man.
Yeah.
Like, have you moved forward with, like, plans? Like, whereabouts are you going to. Go.
I think in Heerenveen.
Okay, cool. Well, nice. Little less. Oh, fuck yeah, we're still on air. We're still talking about.
Oh, trust me, I've edited all this out.
Say again?
I've probably edited all this out.
Nah, don't edit all this out. We'll just leave it in. Nice personal touch to the podcast.
That saves me work.
No, don't. Like, just sort of like, don't edit it. Just sort of leave it. Like this. If people want to listen to us jibber-jabber and all this shit, we will allow them. But yeah, okay, lovely people out there, we're gonna let you go now. Back to your wonderful lives in San Jose or wherever you're listening.
Yeah, Portland, by the way. I'm a Portland Trail Blazers fan, so any Portland fans that want to lend me their house, I'll give you one in Mansfield. It's the drug capital of England, I think. People set up fireworks all the time, and I don't know why. But if you want to swap houses.
Much love to all you guys out there.
Yeah, good ladies.
Enjoy the wonderful world of MMA that we have. Go on Fight Plus. Subscribe to Fight Plus. Watch some fights. You know, there's loads of fights on YouTube as well. Watch some fights. Watch some old fights. Watch some. Get hyped for the fights coming up. You know, there's always stuff going on in MMA.
Yeah.
Listen to some podcasts. Hit us up on Twitter. Engage
us.
Or Facebook or whatever. Or track us down and turn up at our houses.
Yeah.
You know, knock on the door, say, like, I heard your show.
Anyone wants to come party or something?
There you go.
We should have, like, a meet-up.
Yeah, we could. I don't know.
Get everyone together. Get all the listeners together.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, champagne anyway, campaigning.
Like, especially, actually, we've got, like, loads of weird, various international locations. I mean, we've had some people listening in, like, Pakistan and...
Bosnia?
Like, Bosnia, yeah.
Shout out
so
to the Bosnian
listeners. Especially if you want to from one of those places and you've heard this podcast...
Japan?
You want to engage us, like, we'd love to hear from you. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you in these sort of weird markets and how, like, MMA is perceived, because we often lose track of it. Because the only people I really hear from about MMA is like, to some extent, Brazil. I've heard like this is probably the most exotic, but we hear from Americans, we hear from British people, we hear from Australia. So it'd be good to hear how MMA is being perceived in all these other markets.
Yeah, agreed.
But yeah, wonderful. Farewell. And we'll see you on our next episode.
When's our next episode?
Peace out. Soon.
Soon.